Well, I'm thankful for everything God's done for me, how He's been helping me and my new job and keep me safe on the road and everything. I just want to say that I don't feel a bit worthy or adequate to get up here and speak in front of anybody. So if anything comes out of this good, it won't be of me. It'll be of God, and that'll be it. Everything goes to God. All glory goes to Him. All right. I don't know why these messages keep coming to me. I think it's because of my competitive nature. I've always been known as a competitive person. But I really, really enjoy winning. And that's kind of my title, is being a champion for Christ. As Christians, we should strive to be the best Christian we can be. Amen. Not to never let up or to ever let down on any aspect, but to win every battle and to win all the victories. And this is going to take hard work and prayer and reading the Word to get those victories and to win those battles. I think when any of us start out to do anything, no matter what it is or how small it is, we want to accomplish that goal. We want to win. I think as people, we enjoy winning. I don't think any of us enjoy losing. It's good to get those victories. All of us have a desire to be victorious. Nobody wants to fail. So I'm going to talk about being a champion tonight. First off, we got to know what a champion is. A champion is a person who has defeated all competing opponents so as to hold first place. Christ should be our champion. He should be first place in our life. A champion is a person who fights for or defends any person or cause. He is a fighter or warrior. When I was in eighth grade, I was on a basketball team, and we had this theme. It was our logo. And it was on all of our t-shirts we wore before all the games. It said champs across it. And this has stuck with me all my life. And each champs was an acronym. Each letter stood for a word. And that's kind of the main part of my message tonight, is what each letter stood for and how it can be how it affects our Christian walk. The first letter is C. And C stood for committed. To commit means to give in trust or charge, to bind or obligate, as by pledge or assurance. Amen. I like what Brother Chris said. He said, and I heard it all the time as a player and whenever I coached, you gotta buy in. And it's kind of funny because I had this message typed out before he even started on all this stuff. So I don't know how that worked out, but just God. But you gotta buy into what he's selling. Our coach wanted us to commit to that team. He wanted us to be fully committed to that team so that whenever a hard time came, we weren't just going to stop and quit because we had put so much into that team. We were committed. We weren't just going to let off and quit. And this is extremely important when it comes to our salvation. It says in Luke 9:62, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." How great of a Christian are we going to be if we're always looking back? If we're always looking back to the world thinking, man, I could be out there with all those guys. I could be drinking and smoking, you know, just having a good time partying. We're not going to be any part of a Christian at all. We have to buy in. We have to be committed as a Christian. We can't say, well, I'll be a Christian here for a little while. Because, you know, maybe you're going through a hard time there for a little bit, or you're sick, and you think, I'll be a Christian here for a little bit because, you know, God will help me, and He will, but you can't say, I'll be in it for a little while, but then whenever I get better, you know, I'll go back to my own ways. We have to be in it for the long haul. We have to endure to the end, or else we're just wasting our time. The second letter is heart. I'm talking about having heart. We have to have heart. Having heart means to have spirit, courage, or enthusiasm. As a Christian, we need to be tough. We got to be strong-minded so that no matter what comes our way, we got to keep going. We can't just give up. We got to get one more step in. We can't back down. Just because something bad happens doesn't mean the world's going to fall apart. We got to show some backbone as Christians. On the football field, I had a goal for myself every game, and it was to make sure that it took more than one guy to take me down. I wanted to fight for one more yard and get the one more step in for them to have to call in reinforcements. When the devil's battling you, just take one more step. We have to press on. We can't let him get us down. And certainly, we should never forget to call in our reinforcements. Us as Christians, we have the best reinforcement. The world doesn't have the reinforcements we have. Turn with me to Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on my name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say whosoever shall call on my name might be saved. Or that, you know, you could be saved. Or that you might be put on a waiting list. We shall be saved. God will save us from our troubles if we just keep on pressing on. I love this word. I've always liked this word. I don't know where I heard it from, but I've always loved it. The word is resilient. It means to recover quickly from illness or adversity, to bounce back. We're all going to go through trials and hard times as Christians, certainly. But the thing is how are we going to react? How resilient are we? Are we going to bounce back, or are we just going to collapse? I heard a quote once. It says, a winner is someone who gets up one more time than they are knocked down. We can get knocked down 150 times, but if we get knocked up, or if we stand up 151 times, we will be the winner. How resilient are we as Christians? We need to get back up after we get knocked down. For us to be a champion of Christ, we must be willing to fight for Him. The third letter is attitude. And again, this just, I don't know, tie it in with Brother Chris's message. And I don't know. What kind of attitude do we have? There were so many kids that I played with in high school that when they got in trouble or when they got yelled at for messing up an assignment, they would just go off and pout. They would. They thought the coach hated them. They didn't want anyone telling them what to do. They didn't want them telling them how to play or anything like that. They just got mad. It was ridiculous. In the Christian aspect, what kind of attitude do we have as Christians when things don't go our way? And I had this down too. What about, you know, in your car? If someone hits your car, do you get out of your car with a tire iron going over there to them? Or do we act the way Brother Chris did? I mean, it's something I have to watch, though. It's my attitude. We all have to watch our attitude. I'd have a rough time if someone hit my truck. I really would. But, I have to watch it. What are you going to do whenever you get hit by someone like that? I mean, the accident's already happened. The damage is done. You're just going to get in more trouble whenever you get out and act like that. And I don't think anyone's going to want to go to church with you if you get out and act like that. You got in that accident. I wouldn't want to go to church with you if you got out with a club in your hand. And you can't be a witness like that. Also, what kind of attitude do we have when our pastor gets up and talks to us and it nails us right between the eyes? You know that message is for you, and you know you got to measure up. Do we get the attitude of, you know, we get mad, or do we measure up? We got to measure up. For the young people, how do we act when our parents get after us? When I was growing up, there was no such thing as getting mad at my parents or my mom and dad. I had to do what they said to a T. And I'm very thankful for their correction. I'm sure I deserved every one that I got. And I probably could have used a lot more, according to them. I feel like it's definitely made me a better person today. I'm thankful for it. But what kind of attitude do we show when mom and dad gets after us? Do we backtalk? Do we slam the doors or roll our eyes at them? I forget which brother got up and said this, but I remember him saying this. The parent got after him, told him to sit down, and he said, "On the outside, I was sitting down, but on the inside, I was standing up." What kind of attitude do we have? Please turn with me to Ephesians 6 and 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. We have to have the right attitude. The third letter, or the next letter, M, is meticulous. And I didn't have a clue what this meant back at the time, but I really like this word. It means taking or showing extreme care about minute details, caring about the little things. Our coach would ask or critique every aspect. He would make sure we were in the right spot at the right time and that we didn't hesitate to get there. He made sure that we were doing what we were supposed to be down to the very tiny detail. Because if you hesitated for a fraction of a second, someone could be in a position that would put you at a disadvantage. And then you would be defenseless. And this is the same way in our Christian life. If we hesitate to do God's will for just a fraction of a second, we can be out of position that maybe we could have, you know, witnessed to somebody that might have gotten to church and gotten saved. We don't know. If we're not at the right spot where we're supposed to be, then the devil will have that angle on us, and we'll have that disadvantage. If we don't care about the small things, we'll start to slip. If we cut a corner here or take a shortcut there, you know, sometimes, you know, if you forget to read, say, "Oh well, you know, it'll be all right. I just one time, you know," and then it'll happen again, and then it'll just start to progress, and it turns into a big thing. You know, if you don't pray, you know, you say, "Well, I'll get it next time," and then you forget next time. "Well, I'll pray next time," and maybe you do, but then it just starts to progress. And then you just slip off and stop praying. And prayer is where we get our strength from. We got to talk to God in the same way with reading. We got to get our strength. I found some incidents on the internet that were really interesting. These are all true, and these were all fatal incidents of people taking shortcuts, tiny shortcuts that cost them. It said ball and socket connectors are used to attach the conductor blocks to insulators on the arms of the metal towers out there. The big metal towers for electrical lines. And normally stainless steel bolts are used to hold on these things. But in this case, someone wrapped black electrical tape around it to hold it up there temporarily. And someone was working underneath there, and the tape stretched and the ball dropped, hit the guy in the head and killed him. Because someone decided to take that little shortcut and thought, "Well, this will hold." Instead of just taking the time and doing it right, they took that shortcut, and it cost them big time. We can't say as Christians, "Well, I don't need to get rid of all the things in my life." And we have to take care of every little thing. We can't cut corners as Christians. We have to take care of every little thing in our life. Shortcuts in these guys' workplace, they cost them their lives. And if we take shortcuts in our Christianity, it'll cost us heaven. The next letter is P, and that stood for pride. The kind of pride I'm talking about is proud to be a Christian. We should be proud to be a Christian. We should be proud. It's the highest honor I have written down here. It says it's the highest honor in the world to be called a child of God. But we have to watch pride as well. If we walk around school or at the job with arrogance that, you know, "I'm a Christian, I'm a little notch above, I'm, you know, I'm better than you," you know, how are we going to be able to witness if, you know, we think we're better than everybody else? If somebody comes into church that might not be dressed well, we not speak to them or treat them right? It shouldn't be that way. Us as Christians should be the first ones to treat people right. We can't get to thinking we're better than others. I'm talking about the being proud. We should be proud and happy to be a Christian. Please turn with me to Mark 8:38. Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh to the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We should never be ashamed to be a Christian. We should be proud to be a Christian. We should be happy. I'm very thankful to be saved and a child of God. I count it a privilege. We should all count it a privilege to be a child of God. And the last letter, S, stands for success. And this word kind of wraps up all the rest of the letters. To have success, we have to have that commitment that we're going to stick with it. We got to have heart. We got to be strong, be willing to fight for our Christianity and stand up for what's right. We got to have that right attitude. Be able to measure up and have the right attitude, not show the wrong attitude. We got to care about the small things in life. We got to measure up everywhere. And we can't be ashamed. We have to be proud to be a Christian. Can't be ashamed of God. And this will make us a very successful child of God. All of these things equal success. And there's so many other things that tie into being a champion of Christ. I came up with some other ones here. We have to be determined to be a Christian. Amen. We have to have that strong desire that we really want to be a Christian. We want to live this right life. And being a champion just doesn't happen. It doesn't just, you know, you become a champion. We have to prepare to be a champion. All these professional sports teams and all these guys, they spend countless hours in films and in practice. And some people with their jobs, I mean, they'll spend night and day at their job because they just love that job they do. They eat and sleep and breathe their sport or occupation. But what about God? They do all this preparation for the temporal things. But what about the eternal things? And those are what really matter. I couldn't hardly believe this, but it says that the average NFL running back's career lasts less than 2.6 years. I couldn't hardly believe that. They do all that time preparing for 2.6 years, less than 2.6 years. But what about the time preparing for where their eternal soul will go? We are preparing for something that will never end. And looking at that, it seems like we have so little time to prepare. Because we're preparing for eternity. We just got this little bit of time to prepare for something that will never end. And we can't be messing around as young people. We have to get serious. We got to jump on and hang on as tight as we can to this Christianity. And we got to do it now. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can never be a champion if it wasn't for God. It's only through God that we can be a champion. It's impossible through us. We can't do anything without God. We couldn't get up in the morning if it wasn't for God.